Now, we have in the studio our next guest. We have Candy Bowers, who's here to talk about a show called Big World Up Close, and it's done at the Art Centre. There's obviously, it's got the six major works, and it's from First Nation artists from New Zealand, Canada and Australia. So welcome to the show, Candy.
Thank you. Hello.
Now, I suppose before we start talking about the actual show and what your involvement is, let's talk a little bit about your background.
Sure.
So the question, I suppose what we normally like to ask people is, how did you get to where you are now? What brought you here? Where did your love for the arts come from?
Oh, great questions. My parents came from South Africa in the early 70s. So apartheid, they came as political refugees. Both of my parents are artistic. So my dad was a ballroom dancer in his time, and my mum, I guess music was always a part of our lives, and she was very much like a creative arts primary teacher and brought concerts into our primary school. So we did concerts, and for my fourth birthday back in South Africa was a concert. The entire neighbourhood came.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? So I've been doing it. I mean, I don't know who else to blame but them. And me and my sisters all came out very creative and musical. So I think that's where it all started. And then throughout primary school, then I went to a beautiful high school, Creative Arts High School, that still do incredible things, quite a political and high school as well, all girls. And it just kept rolling. And I sort of decided from a young age that I wanted to be a performer, a writer and an actor. Went on to study at NIDA and realised...
What was that like?
Well, sometimes I just felt like I was in the wrong shop. it's like nothing fits me in here. I don't know if these are my people. So it was tough. I have a lot of great friends from that space. But, you know, I came through at a time where there was nobody who looked like me on television or in the theatre space, like whatsoever. And it's sort of like, I feel like the sort of embodiment of the change that's occurred, you know, from going from being completely invisible to being heroes on adverts and in TV Week and stuff. It's been a crazy ride.
Yeah.
And I've actually made work about it throughout my career as well. So there's this beautiful thing smashing up and in and around. Like I've got a lot of young friends in The Cursed Child and stuff like that. I just think, wow, you can now be a 20-year-old and be thinking about auditioning for Hamilton and, you know, be a young black female actor in The Cursed Child.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that was a real surprise for a lot of people when they went to the Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, how diverse it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is brilliant.
Yeah, because it's coming from London.
Yep.
So these are the things. Like, I have written my own musical based on Twelfth Night, I've got to say.
Oh, okay.
Queensland Theatre have had commissioned it, but it's still open because I'm like, I've got the, me and Lin-Manuel have almost like, you know, been cheek to cheek until he just became a megastar. But we did a lot of stuff in Edinburgh.
Sorry,
together.
Who? Liam?
Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote Hamilton.
Oh, created, right.
Yeah.
Oh, your friend?
No.
Oh, that was sarcastic.
No, but we did a lot of things. We've done a lot of the similar things. So we were in Edinburgh together. We have performed together back in the day because he has an act called Freestyle Love Supreme.
Yep.
So I guess my love of hip-hop and Shakespeare and all these different things would clash against each other, and I thought, where's the place for me? And then I went into the world and I went, oh, hang on, it's happening all over the world.
Yep.
And had to get global really quickly. Edinburgh Festival was really an amazing platform for that. So meeting people like and performing with people like Lynn and going, oh, there are more of us in the world, you know. So being unapologetic in my style, which is hip-hop and spoken word theatre, and making original cabaret and theatre on that tip.
Yep.
Which is really interesting because Australia's, you know, I was doing this stuff before the concept of this could be, you know, before it was real. So it's been a really fascinating journey, but it doesn't mean you have to be very good at what you do, because you're sort of bringing something very, very new.
Absolutely. And if you do it badly, you know, like all of a sudden people go, well, yeah.
There we go.
There you go.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's all been sort of an incredible journey, but I've got to say I love the tension. Like I've just been published in a book called Growing Up African in Australia last month that came out, and I thought, wow, the world's going to know there are Africans in Australia, because it feels like when I travel the world, they're like, what is your accent? You know, Americans are like, you know, they're just like, I don't, are you English? Are you French? I'm like, Australian. They're like, French? I'm like, Australian. They can't,
they're like,
I've seen Home and Away, you know? And so it's really an extraordinary time to feel like there is a visibility and voice now.
Yep.
And just an explosion for me of the African diaspora in Melbourne, particularly, just stunning young artists everywhere I look, which is exciting. Some of whom used to come to my workshops back in the day, so that's pretty nice. I feel like, you know, me and my friend were talking about, wow, somebody called me auntie the other day. Like, how, I'm too young for that. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be called an elder of a community yet, right? But there's definitely been a journey from feeling like I was it to now feeling like I can look out and see a wonderful sort of crew of young people and some older people coming back going, I'm back, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So what's your involvement with, you know, like we're talking about this series that's at the Art Centre. It's called Big World Up Close.
Yeah.
What's your involvement?
So I have a show in the program. It's called One the Bear, A Fairy Tale for the Hip Hop Generation.
Right, I love the name.
Hip Hop and Spoken Word all the way. Big World Up Close started 3 years ago, so this is the third year, I should say. And it's always brought works that I've loved in Edinburgh and around the world to Melbourne. So early on, Daniel Clark really was a massive part of it and is a massive part of it. He programs
He's a genius, that guy.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Really important person in our sector and scene.
Yep.
And he'd just say to me sometimes, what should I see? Or da 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 da. And once or twice I've got to say, you have to bring this work. I want Melbourne to see this work.
Yep.
So as I've grown with it, last year there was a South African work that was incredible and blew the place apart and did amazing things. And I'm very involved with young people. So they all got to come and see The Fall, All Roads Lead to Decolonization, which actually won a top 10, the Stage Awards in New York. So this is the quality.
Yep.
You see, it's incredible quality. They went to Washington and they did the work and it was extended for 3 weeks. Mm. I was like, right, like Trump is right, like right here, you know, and they're doing a work about decolonization.
Yep.
The thing about Big World Up Close.
And which I must mention that for those that don't know it, it's First Nation artist.
Yeah, and diasporic. Yep. So people like me from the African diaspora.
Yeah.
But from around the world. So we've got Māori work. We've got Jacob Boehm's work, who's from here in on this land, and
New Zealand, Canada.
New Zealander and Native American.
Yep.
So the conversation is big, a big world one.
Yep.
But I've got to say, it will be some of the best work you'll ever see in the city.
Yep.
And which is what I saw in Edinburgh for years, and would just think I'd come home and go, oh, you know, a little bit like, oh, I can't see what I see there. And now we can with the Big World Up Close program.
Yeah.
The works have all been worked as well. That's the other good thing. I think I do get to see a bit more diversity when it's like fresh new works, works in progress, all that. These works have been around the country or around the world, so you know you're really, you know, getting the good stuff for your ticket price.
Yep.
They're worked in and they're beautiful, and like Jacob's work's been around the world. It just came back from Canada.
Wow. How many are in the...
Six.
Yep.
Yeah. And what I love that they've done this year, because my boos are like teenagers, like I just want them to grow and shine and see themselves. So this is, I wrote my show for the next generation of queens.
Yeah.
But
so tell us, what is it?
Oh, okay, what is it? So it's a sort of like sci-fi visual hip-hop theatre show, and it's an allegory, so it's like a fairy tale. It's a cautionary tale, but, you know, what do kids need caution about today? Celebrity, you know, social media, body image stuff, how to define themselves for themselves. But the two little characters, I'm a bit of a blurt. I love comics and, you know, all of that stuff. So I can imagine this quite easily turning into like an animated series of these two little heroes.
Oh, cool.
Afro-punk heroes.
Yeah.
So the visuals are quite incredible. There's AV throughout, and it's the story of one of these little bear cubs, orphan cubs that live in a garbage tip, being discovered and becoming a famous hip-hop artist, but losing herself in the process and her bestie having to bring her back.
Yeah, yeah.
classic tale. we just happened to be, you know, two little Afro punk bears. And I think the fun of it and everything came out of my work that I'm working so closely with young people all the time. I want to give them something that, you know, sparks their imagination but has some really big messaging and big things about who we are at our root. And because they're so surrounded, like they probably know more about Ariana Grande than they do their dad. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I wanted to use that languaging, right?
That's a quote of the week. Yeah. That's a quote of the week.
I'm going to start saying that.
Yeah. and make him think a little bit too. Like, what is Cardi B? What is Little Kim? What is Beyonce? Where, you know, and who am I in relationship to that? And how do I get lost in that and all of a sudden want to be, you know, whatever I want to be? So, you know, there are messages for everyone. Like, so I get kids coming, I get queer kids going, I saw that me in it, and get Indigenous kids coming, I saw me in it, girls saying, it sounded apologetically feminist, guys going, the music was really dope, it's for me too. So that's when I know I've created something that has a pulse and a beat. And then, of course, all my friends that come that never got to see themselves on stage as I didn't, that are in their 40s and 50s, you know, their kids are all going, I'm not coming to see this show with you because you're just too loud and emotional. Like, they're just, like, crying and whooping and, like, call and responding throughout the show. So it's very dynamic. It's very fun.
And what was it called?
One the Bear.
And you created it with your sister?
Yeah,
is that right?
So my sister and I have made all the music and writing combo for a while. We were the originators of Hot Brown Honey and big works like that that tour the world still now. I just came back from New York.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So this is our thing. Like, I go, we've always, you know, having come from South African parents, we've sort of always looked at the world, not just Australia, but we think it's very important that Australia understands its place in that bigger global culture too. And I just directed at the VCA, and my students, when they'd ask me, what should I do? What's the most important thing to do? I'm like, do a work outside of this country. Get to Asia, get to Edinburgh, go to the UK. Whatever you do, get your work on around the world.
But hold on. Yeah. How can, like, especially the younger people afford it?
Afford it. Afford to do it. Oh, that's an interesting one. The thing, okay, there's so much in this, but, you know, theatre is small and it's a bottleneck, and only so many of them are going to go into the industry as it sits and stands.
Yep.
For me, it was quite direct that, you know, it wasn't really about that I didn't have the talent or skills, it didn't look right. So straight away I had to write my own work, and that put me into a festival circuit. On that festival circuit, there's a range of awards you can win. Melbourne Fringe, you can get to Adelaide or to Brisbane, and you keep popping around.
Yep.
And as you get seen, this is how it sort of works. Mm. Now, there are big engines and production companies that can get you around there, but just like you save up to buy that first car, I'm saying save up to buy that first trip to Edinburgh with your show. I think it's a vital step for any sort of theatre-making, stage-crafty human.
And there are grants, apart from winning the awards, and there are grants as well.
Yeah, but I think that's only one part.
Yep.
I'm quite entrepreneurial. Mm. So for One the Bear that I did at La Boite Theatre before here, I raised 30 grand to get 500 kids of colour to the show.
Whoa.
Kids from the Torres Strait and Thursday Island, because I'm like, that's who I wrote the show for. If they don't have access to it, doesn't make sense for me.
Yep.
And every single one of my artists, I've got to say, that created One the Bear with me, we've all got that activism in us. And it was amazing, actually, to pull off. But that was through, I did go through MatchLab, which was Creative Partnerships Australia, but also Lush gave $10,000 to us to get those young people there.
Fantastic.
And that was because I just saw a bunch of them went to Hot Brown Honey, and I went, okay. I saw it on Facebook, and I was like, let me try and get in touch with the CEO, you know, or the director. And so there are many, many ways to get what you want. And I'm now like, I'm doing a mentorship in LA, actually, straight away after I finish. I'll head back over there. And what I'm learning is the Australians that are over there have this passion and direct sort of desire to do ambition, right?
Yep.
And I want to feel that, because I think Australian artists are extraordinary. There's something about where we are, the distance or the time we incubate and all that.
Yep.
We really can kick it with the big guns, right? So I'm sort of like, what the difference, I think, between the when I'm back home and the gloom that sort of sets in, like, oh, it's so hard, I'm doing so hard. I'm like, dude, I've met people that woke up at 4 a.m. to get their gym training in before they did their $6 an hour job just in case they get an audition so they can sub out. You know, like, people are working it out and we maybe get it a bit too easy.
Yeah.
So I want though my students to and that's why I'm getting them to see things like these programs, because you want to know what it's like to see the best in the world side by side.
Yep.
And to say that as well, Australians do very well in Edinburgh, I think, because we go so far to get over there. The work is killing.
Mm.
But it's the type of Australian that's doing it is, like, hugely ambitious. Don't allow anything to sort of curb their ambition and their vision, yep, their artistic vision.
Yeah. Powerful stuff, very powerful. And that's why you're achieving as much as you're achieving. And so important that you're like a bit of a centerpiece with this festival that's happening. So it starts on July 10th.
Yes.
And runs to the 1st of September.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's a big program. It's six pieces, isn't it?
Yeah, there are some good deals. And I would say, like, it's tough. I know I'm coming at it with a sort of passion, but there's intergenerational work. You can bring your whole family to the first show, like In Between Two Cities. It's a dance work, Cambodian Australian dance work.
Yep.
Oma Moose's work as well, again, Man With For My Own Heart, spoken word, award-winning poet, novelist, young man, and hip-hop artist.
Yep.
You can bring your boys. I'm just putting it out there. Boys need to see shit. Yeah. Boys need to open up to that stuff and they need it now.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a lot of men walking around right now with some big gaps. Not all their own fault. So I'm like, fill it with art, y'all, and fill it in early.
Yep.
Come and see dance work. Come and see them being poets and philosophers and lovers and, you know. So we're not only seeing one sort of story.
Yep.
I've got to make mention of Dear Woman because I think, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, fierce activist women that listen to this program. It is unmissable. It is suspense theatre. You know, if you like shows like Handmaid's Tale, if you like television, you know, if you like stuff where you, and I think all of us need a little bit of that vigilante energy when we're like going, you know.
Yep.
Things, the justice system doesn't always work, and this is the story of a woman whose sister is missing and nobody's doing anything about it. And in Canada right now, there is an extraordinary high count of young women of colour, young First Nations women that are missing, to the point where on International Women's Day, in honour, we only wear one earring for the amount of Native women that are missing.
Mm.
And this show speaks to what I think a part of us all feel at one stage, which is just you want to get vigilante about it and go find out for yourself. The performer is a Native American woman who has Canadian military training. It is an incredible show. I can't give away too much, but I'm just going to say it's satisfying the parts of you that know justice, the justice system doesn't work.
Mm.
And as a theatrical notion, I think it also speaks to something that we all really need sometimes, to just go, we need to feel some things in our society are going to be put right. And it's gripping and it's thrilling. It was at Sydney Festival, so a lot of there's reviews out there, but just, you know, particularly the women out there that need to see it, that's one you can't miss.
Brilliant. So this is all part of Big World Up Close. It's at the Arts Centre, as we said. Six major works from First Nation artists from New Zealand, Canada and Australia.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in.
That's
and
okay.
Thanks for your great words. This is going to be available as a podcast, people, if you didn't catch the whole interview with Candy. And Candy, I hope you use this podcast on your...
I will put it on my blog and let everybody know about it. People love it, particularly my mum. She's like, where are you in the world?
she might get a bit of an understanding listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Candy, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
You're on Joy 94.9.